Hi, everyone. Dan Cassidy here. Welcome back to the Viewpoints podcast series with my colleague Burkhard Varnholt. We do have a very timely conversation for you today because what a difference a week makes. Many stocks were whipsawed this week by geopolitical developments, tariff talks, and a lot of policy uncertainty as the correction and rotation in global stocks has been unrelenting while President Trump has not yet offered a put option or an olive branch to markets. The fundamental question is to investors, should I stay or should I go?
Well, thanks, Dan. That puts it very aptly, just as the clash had done in their all-time hit. Let me be very clear up front here. This too shall pass. And yet, literally in all my client interactions these days, should I stay or should I go is the number one question on everyone's mind. In my latest Viewpoints letter, I'm listing a few reasons why I think investors should be prudent but not blink. Here are a few in no particular order. The first one is an old truism. If you know you don't own stocks on the way down, you usually don't own them on the way up either. It's as simple as that. Let me put this differently. Time in the market usually beats timing the market. Sounds obvious, but it's important to remember this on a day like today. Second, of course, when I say, you know, if you don't own stocks on the way down, you usually don't own them on the way up, that raises the question, what is this? Is this a panic attack or is this something more sinister, like the beginning of a new bear market? Well, look, by my count, there have been 74 panic attacks since the financial crisis in 2009. Bear markets, and there have only been two bear markets, by the way. Bear markets usually happen when a recession hits. Panic attacks, they hit markets for a variety of reasons. They usually recover within weeks or months, but not years. There are lots of them. There are flash crashes, which come and go for no obvious reason. There are panic attacks when investors fear a recession, but then it doesn't happen. There are panic attacks caused by many shocks, like the Silicon Valley Bank or the unwinding of the great yen carry trade last summer. Anyways, our hunch is that this sell-off is really a panic attack caused by the noise and the policy uncertainty of our time. There are also a few who fear a recession, but we don't buy into that scenario. I think that markets should recover fairly swiftly, and then they'll get used to the new political normal of policy uncertainty and what have you. We still believe that the roaring 20s scenario is really why it's very difficult to imagine a bear market here, because when you cannot see a recession, it's hard to call for a bear market. And frankly, it's very hard to expect a recession when, you know, U.S. bank and private sector balance sheets remain very healthy and so are their earnings. The labor market is also by and large healthy. Despite, I concede, the government layoffs and what have you, private wealth and incomes, broadly speaking, are near record highs. Oil prices look well-behaved as far as I can see. Inflation and bond yields are declining. The weak dollar is helping U.S. exporters and also emerging markets. For the S&P companies in aggregate, the Q1 consensus estimates call for earnings to rise, and that'll be for an eighth straight quarter, albeit, you know, at a slower back-to-trend rate. And, you know, the last thing I would mention, which I think one learns from the 74 panic attacks, which I list in my current Viewpoints letter this week, is that most of them really reversed very quickly. And what they then did is they offered investors good opportunity to put fresh money to work and get back into the market. In our case, we bought a bit of protection last week, but, you know, we don't blink in this sell-off. We view it as an opportunity.
So, Burkhard, another surprise to investors or commentators has been that the Trump put, which many had expected is not forthcoming, Bloomberg actually argued that most Trump voters are either young or blue-collar workers, thus voters who are asset-light. So, should we discount the note that there's a hidden Trump put?
Good point. I saw that Bloomberg article. I don't know whether that's right or wrong. They may be right, but Look, the important thing is something different. We never built our investment thesis on the Trumpet idea. And I think investors should never build an investment thesis on any put idea that somebody else offers. Don't build it on the kindness of strangers, be it the president or the Federal Reserve or whoever. Every investment thesis, this is important, I believe, must stand on its own merit. And look, markets are not complicated. They're not. In the long run, the only two things which move markets are two things, earnings and interest rates. That's it. The rest is usually short-term psychology, as we are seeing right here, right now, infectious sense of fear. The most fundamental investment thesis for us, what I've been calling the roaring 20s scenario throughout this and last year, it's the idea that this is something different. We are watching history being made. We're in the second part of a decade of superior growth, which is driven by productivity gains caused by technology and what have you, consumer incomes caused by strong labor markets, and third, the rise of a new world order. And if anything, the current geopolitical environment is strengthening and not weakening that scenario. The global arms race, I hate to say this, has just received a sugar rush from Germany's decision to turn around, overcome its long-cherished debt break, and go all in on fiscal spending for defense and infrastructure. I mean, look, this is a big thing. It's not just the $1,000 billion Germany is saying that they're going to make available. This is a new dawn for Europe as a whole and explains why the euro and European markets have been racing ahead this year. Meanwhile, I don't think that Donald Trump really has the stamina to ignore a real bear market were it to happen, which we don't think it will. Maybe he's just trying to front-load the pain and lives up to the peak end rule, which says that most people judge the end much more than the duration of an experience. So as long as this panic attack ends well, all shall be good for him and Republicans in the next midterm election. Let's see.
Well, Burkhard, that's very interesting. So if markets should bounce back, where do you suggest investors who have fresh money to buy, where should they focus on?
Excellent question. I have three suggestions on this. Number one, buy more of the roaring 20s scenario. What's that? Buy more of the energy transition, buy more financials, buy more tech. My second suggestion is, look, if this is all making you crazy or if you become too dizzy, buy gold. The investment thesis for gold is very solid. China is trying to build a new Bretton Woods 2.0 for itself and its allies, promoting its own digital yuan. To make this new digital Chinese currency credible, it'll have to continue to buy much more gold to back it up, which it's been doing since 2022. And my third suggestion is what we've been discussing throughout this year, the rotation to European assets. I think it really has a long way to go. Let me repeat this. Germany's decision to go big on infrastructure and defense, to overcome its long-cherished debt break, is a turning point for Europe, for the European Union, for European growth. And markets are feeling this. This is like they're sensing. This is the dawn of a new era. And European markets, as you know, are cheap. And meanwhile, within the big continent of Europe, there's a beautiful little country called Switzerland. Switzerland remains a beautiful safe haven in Europe. It's Europe's most globalized economy. The market is defensive. It's still up double digit this year, and its currency is the world's strongest. So that's my short list to choose from, Dan.
Well, Burkhard, a very helpful way to wrap up. Do appreciate that guidance and the overall clarity you've provided to our listeners during what has been a very uncertain and turbulent time. So thank you, as always, Burkhard, for dropping by, sharing your perspective on the markets, how our clients should respond, and do look forward to picking back up with our conversation again soon.
Well, thank you, Dan. Always a pleasure to speak to you. Have a good rest of the day, and let's keep our fingers crossed that this market will turn around sooner rather than later.
Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to visit ubs.com/studios to view the entire UBS Studios suite of podcast channels, along with our video offerings, such as UBS Trending. You can also follow us on Instagram for content highlights at UBS Trending. UBS Studios is part of the UBS Chief Investment Office within UBS Global Wealth Management. Visit ubs.com/CIO to view the latest research.
UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management Business of UBS AG or its affiliate, UBS. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient and is published for informational purposes only. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients globally, UBS AG and its subsidiaries offer both investment advisory services and brokerage services. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. In the USA, UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG and a member of FINRA SIPC. For information, please visit our website at ubs.com/workingwithus. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investor investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.